Welcome to Where is God's Word with your host, Bruce Musselman, brought to you by the Mattaway Country Baptist Church of Aurora, Ohio. Bruce combines over 40 years of experience as a pastor, Bible teacher, and author. This program addresses topics surrounding the authority and inerrancy of the Bible. Here now with this week's edition of Where is God's Word is Bruce Musselman.
I'm so glad to be with you once again, and I think of the fact that Jesus is alive and well. And the Bible says Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he said, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and Son and Holy Ghost. And so he says, and lo, I'm with you unto the end of the world. And so he is with us, and he is with us through his Holy Spirit. He is with us through his words. And he always connects his words with himself. He says, if you're ashamed of me and my words. And then the Bible says the word of God liveth and abideth forever. And so it is always, will always have God's true word. And it says, it's nigh thee, even in thy heart and in thy mouth. And so that's what we're saying on our program. We have God's perfect word, because the Bible says we can look at the perfect law of liberty in the Authorized King James Bible. And I think we ought to sometimes call it the King Jesus Bible, because, you know, we know who Jesus is, and we can have fellowship with him, and we can be close to him through his words. And so I know what a blessing his words are to me. They give me peace. They give me joy. They give me comfort. They give me assurance of eternal life. They give me knowledge of heaven. They give me knowledge of salvation. And the Bible, you see, the Psalm 119 is a whole psalm of praise and worship of the Word of God. I heard one fellow out of Bible school, and sometimes these schools really get it wrong. See, he said, well, he says, we don't worship the book, but we worship the God of the book. Well, that is a false dichotomy. You can't separate the two because the book and the words are Christ with us. And Christ dwells in our heart through his words. And this is very clear. If ye abide in me, I abide in you, you shall ask what you will. And then a verse farther down says, in the same chapter, it says, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you. So it's the same. And so, you know, we can have fellowship and conversation with Jesus right now. And for instance, he says something in his word. He says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And that's his statement. See, so my statement can be, well, Lord, thank you for that. I sure am glad to hear that you're always with me. And then we see signs of it as we go along in our life that God is with us. And I think just recently I saw a major help that the Lord gave me in a major problem. You know, he solved it for me because I just said, Lord, I need your help, you see. And so I believe even he helps us with this program that we put on here. But we have his words today, and I know some places they'll teach when you go to school, the first thing, no translation is inspired. Well, that's a lie. We have the word of God liveth and abideth forever. Well, the living word of God is God's inspiration, his life, and it abides forever, and it is with us. And Brother Al always has this illustration. He says, you take water, and it's water, and you pour it into another cup, and it's still the same water, even though it's in another cup. So God's words are poured into one language, and it's still the Word of God, and you pour it into another language. And I do believe in translations of the Word of God in different languages. It's still the Word of God. And the Word of God, the Bible says, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried and purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them and forever, you know. And so when the translators of King James, the best group that ever sat down, they had a number of translations that were given by the Holy Spirit, because the apostles not only were given by the words of God, the Holy Spirit, Jesus said the Holy Spirit will give you the words, but then in the gift of tongues, they actually were given the translation of those words, and those words came down to the King James translators. And since the word of God liveth and abideth forever, and God said he would speak to, with men of other tongues, God guided those translators And that then we can say the word of God is nigh thee, even in thy heart and in thy mouth. That's near us. We have it in our heart and our mouth in the Authorized King James Bible. And the Bible says, my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me, and a stranger will they not follow. And there's so many verses like that. And so they have heard the voice of Jesus, up to 5 billion copies of this Bible. That's the voice of Jesus. The voice of Almighty God is speaking to us in this Bible. A stranger will they not follow. Every other translation disappears. Now you explain that. There's only one explanation. This is the Bible that God gave us. You know, I have here, and we talk about them all the time, we have a list of books by outstanding authors and writers on this subject. And, you know, they explain why we believe this. This is not just a translation. This is the word of Almighty God. That's what our program is all about. And we have a lot of tremendous books on this subject that will show you, for instance, which Bible is God's word, or which version is God's word. That's another Bible. One, the first one by McElroy, the second by another author, and then we have Hazardous Materials show where all the corrupt versions come from, who put them out, all about them. New Age Bible versions that show the changes, the implication of changes, and there are many, many books that are coming out that are well-researched, well-documented, that show this. But the final reason we believe this is because, you know, the Bible says even in the first, second century, there are many that corrupt the word of God. Well, even if we found manuscripts from the first or second century, it doesn't mean they're correct. And that's why this crowd that always looking to find the originals, you know, they've run themselves into a ditch and admit they can't find them. But even if we found those, it doesn't mean we have the Bible. But we have something that's more sure than seeing Christ in all his glory, because God knew be people that were corrupted. So what he did is he told us what the word of God is. And there's as many prophecies as to what the word of God is as prophecies about Jesus when he came the first time. The Bible is full of, and even in the corrupt versions, it tells us what the word of God is. And they all point like a laser beam to the King James Bible. And so we have it. We ought to call it the King Jesus Bible. This is the knowledge of Christ. You want to know Christ? You read in this Bible. And the corrupt ones, they'll say Jesus was a liar in one place, and another place they'll show that he was a sinner. Another place his father was Joseph, not God. I mean, they're full of these corruptions. And yet the Bible talks about wolves in sheep's clothing. You have people that talk like a fundamentalist Bible believer, and they promote these corrupt Bibles. Well, that's the beginning of the program, and now we have our scientific report, and we're not talking about original autographs when Brother Davis gives his report. We're talking about the Authorized King James Bible, the perfect word of God given to us by Almighty God and kept by Almighty God. God bless you. Go ahead.
Well, thanks, Bruce. And again, just a reminder before we get into that part as well, that you can visit Bruce's website, whereisgodsword.com. That's whereisgodsword.com. And you can listen to these programs there and past programs. And also, he mentioned some of the books that available that you can look at. He mentioned which Bible would Jesus use, and also Hazardous Materials. And there's also several others listed there. One Book, One Authority, A More Sure Word, The Bible, and different ones, Answers to Your Bible Version Questions. And these are some different ones that guests that have been on the program in the times past. And also there's Bruce's article that he wrote some years ago, Correcting the King James Bible. We have that entire article there. All of that is at whereisgodsword.com. And so I encourage you to check that out, whereisgodsword.com. There's links to those various materials that Bruce was talking about. Well, I wanted to share something here today in Proverbs chapter 6. And there must have been a reason for this, because all I could think about this last night when I went to bed was ants. I don't know why in particular. I was just thinking of ants. I woke up this morning, I was thinking of ants. I don't remember what I dreamed last night, but maybe I dreamed of ants. I don't know. But all I could think of was ants. And so I thought, well, that must be what I'm supposed to talk about on the program today. And I thought, but we did talk about ants once before, some time ago, in Proverbs chapter 6. And here in verse number 6, starting in verse 6, it says, "Go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest." And we talked about this in the past, and I'll just touch on this real quick. If you'll notice, when Solomon is writing this, he uses the female pronoun here, her. He didn't say him, he says her. And a long time ago, people didn't really realize that the ants that you see that are invading your picnic, or you find them in your sugar bowl or something, or going across the counter in your house or whatever, those are female ants. It's very rare do you ever see a male ant. Most ants that you ever see are female. We talked about that, and that's what it says. He said, "Go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise." And in verse 8, it provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. But there's another point in here that I wanted to touch on here. In verse number 7, it says, "having no guide, overseer, or ruler." And I was reading something, maybe this is what made me think about it. I was reading something, and they said that there's an error in the Bible there, because everybody knows that an ant colony has a queen, right? Well, what is a queen? A ruler. And here the Bible says, "having no guide, overseer, or ruler." So is that a contradiction? Well, no. See, we use the term queen to describe the large female, the female that lays all the eggs in the ant colony from which all the other ants come from, the workers, the drones, the soldiers, and all of them. They all come from the eggs that the queen lays. But when we use the term queen, people think of that in the term of, you might think of a monarch, a ruler, like Queen Elizabeth in England, or some other queen from history. But that's not the case here in the ant colony. Some people have actually speculated that the queen is almost a prisoner of the ant colony, because once she mates and then lands and begins to dig a short tunnel and begins laying eggs, the worker ants and the soldier ants then direct most of the activity in the colony, and they feed her, and she just keeps pumping out eggs for the most of her life. Now, admittedly, she lives a long time. The queen ant, unlike the others might only live for a few months to a year. The queen might live for years. Some queen ants are known to live up to as much as 30 years. It's amazing. And as long as she's alive producing eggs, the colony will survive, but the other ants bring her food, and if she stops producing eggs, some of the other ants in the colony may actually try to kill her so that they can replace her with another queen. So she's really not someone that sits in the colony ruling and making decisions what the rest of the ants are going to do. In fact, they've studied ants, and there's a whole line of science. It's called myrmecology. Those, you know, that's a subset of entomology. Entomology is the study of insects, and the myrmecology is the study of ants in particular. And they've studied these, and they really don't know exactly how they respond, but best that they can tell is that the ants have something innate in them. They respond, their nervous system responds to outside stimuli, the environmental conditions, and to each other. And it's a principle in science they call self-organization, where smaller groups form larger units and larger patterns of behavior. And they call it self-organization because they don't really know what it is and how it happens. They just have to have a word to explain it. So they invented the term self-organization. But this is where each individual in the ant colony does its job in response to outside cues and the way that it triggers their nervous system to react. So the ants really, just as the Bible says, they do not, as it says here in Proverbs 6, verse 8, verse 7, they have no guide, they have no overseer, or ruler. This incredible complexity. Ant colonies, they've actually found ways of mapping them by pouring plaster, even molten metal down into an ant colony. They found some of these go down several feet deep, sometimes as much as 20 or more feet deep. They have chambers, they have passages organized where they store food, they store grain. They, just like the Bible says, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. They store all of this. Some ants have underground chambers where they bring in grain or leaves or whatever, and they grow fungus on it. Some have aphid herds that they actually raise like cattle, and they milk the aphids for this the sweet sugary secretions that the aphids produce. And all of this is done with no guide, overseer, or ruler, because God put into that ant a set of instructions and a nervous system that would respond to the environment around it to produce these incredibly complex social organizations, which the ant colony are, which an ant colony is. And in doing so, again, here's the Bible, Proverbs chapter 6, vindicated once more by modern science. Go to the ant, thou sluggard, and consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. If an ant can respond to what God has given it, shouldn't a human being be able to respond to the word of God that he's given to us?
Amen. Brother Al, I tell you, I love those reports. They're fantastic, and I really enjoy those things. I sure glad you're on the radio here with this program. I want to talk about, start with Mark 16, 9 through 20. And those rascals, I'm telling you, and they really are, they question that passage. Now, that passage has the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So they have to attack that one, you know. And these modern versions, some of them either leave it out, or if they put it in, they put a question mark or brackets around it. Now, why do they do this, you know? Well, we got wolves in sheep's clothing. You know, that's what it amounts to. And where does this come from? Well, first of all, the vast majority of manuscripts have that in, that they have found in the past in many different languages. And why is it up? Because it comes from Constantine's Bible. I guess it's the Vaticanus or Sinaiticus, one of them, but it comes out of that. And that comes from Eusebius of Caesarea, and then he got his disciples from Origen, who actually changed and corrupted the scriptures. And, you know, they have what is called scientific textual evidence or something like that in that study. And it's all set up to go to Constantine's corrupt versions. And the Bible says that the trial of Jesus, there are two false witnesses, or the false witnesses, they came. And so we have our false witnesses, Vaticanus and Sinaiticus, some say oldest and best. Well, they were some ancient Bibles that were dumped by the church in their day. They didn't use them, so they left them in the library, and they were in good shape, but they were some of the most corrupt that existed. For instance, Vaticanus and Sinaiticus disagree with each other in 3,000 words in the Gospels. And not only that, the Pope made copies of Vaticanus because he's been pushing it for hundreds of years, and his copies didn't even agree. That's amazing. You photograph it, and then your photographs of it don't even agree, that he made in the 19th century. I mean, it's preposterous. And so a lot of these people, like Metzger, for instance, now he says Matthew got it wrong. He had errors in it. Now, the reason he says Matthew had it wrong, and what a blasphemous statement. Matthew was given his words by the Holy Spirit, and Metzger is teaching at a leading seminary in the United States here. What do you remember that seminary? What's the name of it? It just escapes my mind. I'm having a senior moment right
was
now.
Was it University of Chicago?
No. It's the big famous evangelical school in Texas, Dallas.
Dallas.
Yeah, he's teaching there. He's teaching Matthew got it wrong. And he's going to be teaching all those teachers, are going to be teaching the preachers all over the United States that Matthew has errors in it. Now, the reason he believes Matthew has errors in it is because his corrupt Vatican Bible or Sinaiticus Bible has errors in them, and he believes that that's showing what Matthew actually wrote. Can you believe it? You know, and some of you people are so addicted to this garbage, and this is what they teach in so many schools. Vaticanus and Sinaiticus. Well, you know where Vaticanus came from. It comes from the Vatican Library. The Pope's been pushing this way back from about the 4th century. So, you know, and now they're teaching that's the oldest and best. Well, the early churches, they didn't accept it. That's why it's such good shape. They dumped it. They didn't have anything to do with it. But now, at the time of the second coming of Christ, you know what the Bible says about the Laodicean church, and most prophecy teachers believe that's the period that we're in right now. They're blind. That's our evangelical leaders. They're blind. They're promoting Bibles that are full of false doctrine. You know, and they don't understand what the Bible says. The Bible says God would preserve his words. We have the history of the preservation of it. The churches that didn't go in with Constantine and Damasus, they had the true word of God. And that's another thing. The Bible says that thou mayest know how thou ought to behave thyself in the house of God, which is a church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. The churches of the living God that have been with us, and God said they always will be. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but his churches will not, he said. And he says they would always be with us. They always had the true word of God in their language, in their languages, in different translations. And so the true Bible-believing churches all down through the ages had the true word of God, and they do today. And you can go, there's thousands of churches and thousands of pastors and millions of people all over the world today that belong to independent Baptist churches and other churches that know where the word of God is. And they believe that they have the word of God. It's in, God says, thy word is in my heart. It's nigh thee, even in thy heart and in thy mouth. They have it in the authorized King James Bible. And they got it, and you just look up the church, and it's worldwide. And you can go to that church, and they will tell you that we have the word of God. And these other people, they run themselves right into a ditch. They're blind leaders of the blind. They say, we're reverent biblicists with unquestioned loyalty to the originals. Well, they don't have the originals, and if you pin them down, they will admit to that. But what they're going is those two corrupt manuscripts, Vaticanus and Sinaiticus. Now, we have it today in Mark 16, 9 through 20. The evidence is 99% of the ancient manuscripts that it is in there. Isn't that ridiculous? And yet you're reading corrupt scripture verses that question the resurrection of Christ. If it's not in there, you know, it would end, Mark would end with, they were all afraid. Now, isn't that wonderful? You end the life of Jesus Christ, they were all afraid. But the true word of God says he rose from the dead. And so we've been rejoicing, and we've been singing the song, up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph for his foes. He arose victorious over the vast domains, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. And thank God Jesus came to die. He came to die for our sins. He was punished for our sins. And he says, I'm coming out of the tomb the third day, and we can go and see where he died. We can go there and see the stone bed where they put his body. We can see where the stone was rolled away, and we can see his body wasn't there. And I saw it, you know, and his body wasn't there, but I knew it wasn't going to be there because he arose. 500 people saw him after he rose from the dead. And all the apostles that knew him, they saw him after he rose from the dead. They touched him. They handled him. They ate with him for 40 days. And then he left, but he says, I will return. And I tell you, MacArthur said he would return after he left the Philippine Islands, and he came back. And I'll tell you, if MacArthur came back, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is coming back, and we've got it in his word, the authorized King James Bible, which liveth and abideth forever, and we can look at the perfect law of liberty. We can look at it, and it is absolutely perfect. It is the true word of God, and it'll give you peace, it'll give you joy, it'll give you salvation, it'll give you eternal life, it'll give you the knowledge of Christ, and you can come to know God and the Lord Jesus Christ personally through it. God bless you.
You have been listening to Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. If you enjoyed today's program and would like to receive a free brochure that lists 100 references where the name of Jesus has been omitted from modern versions, we invite you to drop us an email at sos1611@gmail.com. That's sos1611@gmail.com. Where is God's Word is sponsored by the Mantoway Country Baptist Church, located at 12385 Chamberlain Road near Aurora, Ohio. Pastor Murray Bay and the congregation cordially invite you to worship with them. Sunday morning services are held at 10 and 11 a.m. For directions or more information, please call 330-562-6600. That's 330-562-6600. Or write to the Mantoway Country Baptist Church, 12385 Chamberlain Road, Aurora, Ohio, 44202. Tune in again next week at this same time for another edition of Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman.